Thank you, Pastors Tyler and Ray, for leading us already this morning. We do want to continue to remember the Benton family. And I also want to say thank you for those who have, over the past couple weeks, week by week, more so each week, made the building and the sanctuary in particular beautiful. So thank you for that. Let me invite you this morning to take your Bible, kind of open it to the middle of your Bible, and then keep going forward to the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 34. As we look at our Christmas text this year, 2018. Let's see what God's Word says to us this morning. You may wonder what Christmas text this could be. Let's see what it says here. Ezekiel chapter 34. I'll begin reading in verse 1, and for now I'll read verses 1 through 10. It says, "The word of the Lord came to me, 'Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, Ah, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the wild beasts. My sheep were scattered. They wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. My sheep were scattered over all the face of the earth with none to search or seek for them." Ezekiel 34:7. "Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, declares the Lord God," or maybe in your translation it's the Sovereign Lord, "surely because my sheep have become a prey, and my sheep have become food for all the wild beasts, since there was no shepherd, and because my shepherds have not searched for my sheep, but the shepherds have fed themselves and have not fed my sheep, therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my sheep at their hand and put a stop to their feeding the sheep. No longer shall the shepherds feed themselves. I will rescue my sheep from their mouths that they may not be food for them." Let's pray together. Lord God, we know that we do have an enemy, as Ray has already prayed, the world, the flesh, and the devil. We thank you that at the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, he has been defeated and will be so ultimately. One day, we pray soon. Lord God, you are the great shepherd, and we pray that you would lead us. We pray that you'd bless the reading of your word and the preaching of your word now on this Christmas Sunday. Lord, we can, when we think about the biblical meaning of Christmas, we can explain things, but there's only so much explaining that we can do. So help us, even right now, through the Holy Spirit, not only to explain, but to wonder and to marvel and to be amazed and to worship. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I hope you're paying close attention. We will certainly look beyond just these verses that we read, but we read there in Ezekiel 34, 1 through 10. And based on what we read there in those first 10 verses of Ezekiel 34, let me say this to you this morning, Crossway. The Lord God does not play games when it comes to the spiritual oversight of His people. The Lord God does not play games when it comes to the spiritual oversight of His people. God will not tolerate any abuse of power when it comes to spiritual leaders in the church. For it is His church, We are His people. That's why I said what I said there at the very beginning. When it comes to the spiritual oversight of His people, as you've heard it said, we are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Brothers and sisters, that is what we see here, is it not? If we've noticed Ezekiel 34, look with me again at this passage, Ezekiel 34. It says there at the beginning, "The word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel." And so when we look not just at the first 10 verses this morning, but for Christmas, when we look at the entire chapter of Ezekiel 34, there's going to be a lot about shepherds and sheep. But perhaps you have already guessed, and perhaps you already know that, is it speaking about literal sheep and literal shepherds? Well, no, it's not. It's speaking about shepherds in terms of the leaders of God's people, particularly the kings of Israel, and whether they have fared well or not. And it speaks about the sheep as the people of Israel. Do you see here, for example, when it says in verse 10, "Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds"? I guess the one thing you don't want in life, you don't want God to be your enemy. He says, "I am against the shepherds." Do you see that this is serious, right? The Lord is not happy, no, not at all, with this situation that's going on here in this particular time of the life of Israel. Now, I want to flip for just a moment, and you can if you want. You can listen to John chapter 10. And in John chapter 10, foregoing for just a minute, holding tight for just a minute on verse 10, let me look at verse 11, John 10 and 11. Here in John 10, 11, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. So we're talking about Easter and Christmas this morning. Verse 16. "And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father." And Caleb, maybe you can go back to that first screen there. You've heard that verse. You know the handy reference, John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says, even to us this morning, "But I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly." And then he goes on to say those pregnant words there, that little short sentence, "I am the good shepherd." Want to keep that in mind this morning as we think about Ezekiel chapter 34. The first thing this morning, if you're taking notes on paper or just in your head, the first thing that we see from Ezekiel 34 and the ultimate thing that we see from this chapter is this: there is only one who is fully qualified to lead God's people. There is only one, capital O, who is fully qualified to lead God's people. One who will never have any imperfections in his leadership, much less gross abuses of power. Ultimately, the end game this morning, the message of Ezekiel chapter 34, is that there is only one who is fully qualified, who would never have even any imperfections in his leadership, much less gross abuses of power. And is that, in fact, not what we see here this morning in this passage? If we're trekking with Ezekiel 34, we do, in fact, see gross abuses of power when it comes to spiritual leadership. Now, we can think about a modern-day example of that. Not to needlessly point fingers as though we can be on our high horse, but you know what's been in the news, of course. This particular article comes from Erie, Pennsylvania. The Justice Department has opened an investigation into Roman Catholic diocese in Pennsylvania accused of covering up abuse for decades. And it comes 2 months after the Pennsylvania Attorney General's office released an explosive grand jury report charging that bishops and other church leaders had covered up the abuse of more than 1,000 people over a period of more than 70 years. That's a modern day example of abuse in leadership, of spiritual abuse of leadership. That's what we see here so long ago in Ezekiel chapter 34. By the way, we pray for our Roman Catholic friends that they would embrace the true gospel of justification by faith alone, understanding that that is also a fundamental problem and a fundamental issue there. But what we see in Ezekiel 34 is we see gross abuse of power. We see fat cats. We see selfish gain. They're not even trying to hide it. They're preying on people. They're in leadership, spiritual leadership to boot, and they're there not to serve or to give of themselves, not to serve and to, like Jesus, who came not to be served, but to serve. But no, here in Ezekiel 34, these leaders, remember, it's not talking about literal shepherds and sheep. It's using this common biblical imagery, very familiar in the Bible times, shepherds representing the leaders of God's people, particularly the kings, and the sheep representing His own people. God loves His people. God loves His own people. These leaders were actually there to exploit the people, to increase their own standing by using the people who should have been under their care. And God hates this. Now in Ezekiel 34, we're not going to look at this, but he is going to go on a little bit later and he's going to address the people. And he's going to say, you're not off the hook. The serious sin problem also has to do with you, the people, Israel, and your sin, but the indictment here is against her leaders. And God hates this. He's against this because he loves his own people. You do know, right, this Christmas, that God is out, number one, for His own glory, and number two, He gets glory for Himself by always and constantly working for the good of the people whom He loves and for whom Christ died. God is out, number one, for His own glory, and He gets glory for Himself because He's always at work for His own people, the people for whom Jesus died. Well, if you haven't figured it out already, we're speaking about the Lord Jesus this morning. Yes, even from Ezekiel 34, one man has said, I think it's so helpful, you can summarize the entire Bible in two phrases, promises made and promises kept. And you can kind of put promises made, Old Testament, if you want to, and promises kept, New Testament. Because God is a promise-making and a promise-keeping God. And God has made promises, including what we see here. This is Christmas. To get to the nub of the issue, notice with me verse 22. Notice the very specific Christmas text from Ezekiel 34. I will rescue my flock, and they shall no longer be a prey. And I will judge between sheep and sheep, God, the Lord God is saying. Now, this is really important. I'll linger over this for just a moment. Because verse 22 is by no means the first time that God Himself, Yahweh, Israel's God, the one true God, the only God, the creator of the world, the one who created you and who gave you life and who gave you breath and who's allowed you to be here today and who hasn't chosen to snuff out your life. This is not by any means the first time in this chapter that he said, I will. In fact, that could be a little fun homework maybe later today to go back and see how many times God says, there's a problem here. My sheep, my people are being neglected. There's an abuse of leadership. My shepherds are not my shepherds at all. So I will make it right over and over and over again. Again, verse 22, what we've just read, I will rescue my flock. And so that's actually the second point this morning, is that God Himself will shepherd His people. Point number one, only one is fully qualified to lead God's people. Point number two, God Himself will shepherd His people. Isn't that what verse 22 says? But now notice verse 23. And as we think about Isaiah, and as we think about Micah, we also think about Ezekiel 34, 23 and 24. And I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, notice the language of the covenant here, and I, the Lord, will be their God. And my servant David shall be prince among them. I am the Lord. I have spoken. This is Christmas. We're not so much talking about Christmas as we think about it. We're talking about the incarnation. That God took on flesh. That God was in flesh. This is what we rejoice in today. This is what was foretold in the Old Testament. This is the rock solid fuel for our worship, that Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, said, I am the good shepherd. Now you can look at this, you know, if you're a Jew or if you don't have the New Testament or something, you can look at this and say, well, this doesn't make sense. Because you read Ezekiel 34, like verse 11, look there with me. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself, that's our point, that's our second point. God Himself will shepherd His people. I myself will search out for my sheep and will seek them out. And as a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep. And I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered. Verse 13, and I will bring them out from the peoples. I am not at all satisfied. I am not at all happy with what is going on. I am going to intervene. But the question then becomes, and really this is the question of the Bible in a sense, this is the mystery of Christmas. This is why I said you can try to explain the incarnation, but there comes a point where you just have to start with a sense of wonder and amazement. Because which is it? Is God going to come and rescue His people? You may say, I already know the answer to this. Just listen. First, just listen. Is God going to come and rescue His people? Or is it going to be what God says in verse 23? I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. Is it going to be somebody from the line of David? Is it going to be a man, in other words? Is it going to be a human being? Or is it going to be God? Which is it? Is God going to come to the rescue of His people, or is He going to send a human rescuer? And this is the message of Christmas. This again is John chapter 10. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep, I am the good shepherd. Do you see? You see, we cannot fully understand it, but it is both, of course. It is God will come to rescue His people, and He will send, verse 23, set up them one shepherd, my servant David, through the God-man. Who is a suitable leader for the people of God? These guys in verses 1 through 10? No way. No way, no how. They will be judged. Let me say this to you this morning, even as I always ask you to pray for us. Spiritual leadership is both a high and happy privilege and a serious and sober calling. Spiritual leadership is both a high and a happy privilege and a serious and a sober calling, and all leaders will give an account to God. God Himself will go about to make things right, and He will shepherd His people. He will do it. And so we say, so what this morning? How do we evaluate our lives this Christmas Sunday 2018 as we thought about, number one, there is only one who is fully qualified to lead God's people. And then as we thought about, number two, God Himself will shepherd His people. It seems confusing, but the answer is both. Both and God through the one who is fully man, the one who became fully man. We need to be reminded of this every Christmas, that when the Son of God came to earth, when Jesus came, He did not strip aside, He did not lay aside His deity, His divinity. He did not slough off His being God. Instead, what He did was He added something new. He had always been God, and He never stopped being God, but He had never before become incarnate. He is, was, He had become then, and He is now, even now, the God-man, fully God and fully man. For us and for our salvation, for you and for me, for us, God became man. And so I say to you this morning, if John chapter 10 is true, we're making this connection, if in fact, which I do believe, and I don't think you have to stretch for this, if in John chapter 10, when Jesus says, as if you're familiar with the Gospel of John, if you're not, or maybe if you're not even a Christian, go home and read the Gospel of John. You'll notice over and over again these I am statements. But if John chapter 10 is true, when Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, and if, as I submit to you this morning, He has Ezekiel 34 in His mind, well then, as C.S. Lewis has reminded us, we can't just play games with Jesus. We can't just be indifferent to Jesus. You must decide today, based on the fact that He was crucified on the cross and that He was raised from the dead and that He is coming again, you must decide today by His grace if you will become a disciple of Jesus, a follower of Jesus. You can't be indifferent. Because if John chapter 10 is true, I am the good shepherd. I know my own. And my own know me. Just as the Father knows me. If this is true, then of course it's saying that Jesus is divine, that He is God. That He Himself self-consciously understood Himself to be the one coming in fulfillment of Ezekiel 34 over and over and over. Probably shouldn't say ad nauseum, but over and over again. He says there, I will come. I will rescue my flock. These are my sheep. What are you doing with my sheep? Jesus says, I am that good shepherd. He is God. But of course, at Christmas, He is also fully man. He is the prince. He is the true king. He is the David after David has died. You know, and Ezekiel's kind of strange. Like, what's he talking about David? Because if you know, like David, there's no more David at this point. I think it's one of three passages in the Old Testament where it's talking about a David after David's already gone. And we understand, as Christians, we understand this as our Messiah, as our Savior, as our Lord. Jesus is the human leader that we need and that God's people Israel desperately needed. He is at the same time fully God and fully man. Hey, by the way, you know that if you're a member of Crossway, we've been talking about this thing called the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. Which, if you don't know what that is, may sound funny. It's just a Christmas offering every year that churches in our church family take for international missions. And we could explore this more, but I just want to quickly point out from John 10, and I know you may not be in John 10, but you may know these words. Listen to me, I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. So Christmas is also about missions. We're talking about Christmas this morning. We're talking about the incarnation, Ezekiel 34, 23 and 24. That's your Christmas verse this year. But we're also talking about missions. Jesus came so that the glory of God would be known among all nations. Jesus came so the glory of God would be made known among all nations. And in the same way that John 10 and Ezekiel 34, when Jesus says, I have other sheep that are not of this fold, he's also bringing us right back to Ezekiel. You can look that up later. Ezekiel 37, 24. Ezekiel 37, 24. Missions. The glory of God. Well, finally this morning, not only is Jesus divine, not only is he fully man, but Crossway, my brothers and sisters, there is one more thing back in Ezekiel chapter 34. There's one more thing, and if you were to rate its value or its importance simply based on the explicit mention of this thing, well, you're not going to find it explicitly mentioned a lot, at least not right here. But there's one more thing this morning in Ezekiel chapter 34 as we think about Christmas and as we think about the glory of God to all nations. This one final thing is the word covenant. I want you to hear me this morning. Look again and let's get a running start with that incarnation passage, verse 23. And I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. Again, think about that in terms of John 10. Think about that in terms of the Messiah that we know. Jesus has died. He has come. He has died. He has been raised. Is your life in keeping with the fact that we are post-cross? Not is your life in keeping, but basically what I mean is, have you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ? He has come. This is what 23 and 24 is prophesying. And then 25. I will make with them a covenant of peace and banish wild beasts from the land. Listen to this, boys and girls. I will make with them a covenant of peace and banish wild beasts from the land so that they may dwell securely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. You like to go camping? That's not always, I mean, there's some risk with that. They're going to banish wild beasts. You can dwell securely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. And I will make them and the places all around my hill a blessing. But I want to focus as we close on this. I will make them a covenant of peace. Jesus is the covenant in person. One guy, I've been so helped by his book when it comes to Christmas. I go back to it over and over again. It's called Pleased to Dwell. Pleased to Dwell by Peter Mead. He says this. He says, imagine meeting a Jew, a real Hebrew Bible reading, synagogue committed Jew. Ask them about the covenant God made with Israel in the days of Moses. Don't you think they could do a good job of explaining and even quoting that covenant? The blessings and the curses, even the laws? And I don't just mean Ten Commandments. I suspect they could cite hundreds of the 613 laws that were given by God through Moses. Now imagine meeting a follower of Christ. You know, a church-attending, Bible-reading, believing Christian. Ask him or her about the new covenant, the centerpiece of current connection between God and humanity. What's the new covenant? The centerpiece of current connection between God and humanity. Could they give the details? Could they list the five or so main provisions of the new covenant? What about the person in the mirror? How would you get on? What is that? Why are we even talking about that? Because it's Christmas. Because it's Jeremiah 31:31. And because it's Ezekiel. And because Christmas, because God Himself has come, and because God did send the Prince, the David, the King, in a sense that which we cannot fully understand, it's one and the same. It's God and it's man, and because He comes, promises made, promises kept. Because He has come, we can, even if we're ignorant, we can know sins forgiven, the law written in the heart, a relationship with God, a living heart, Ezekiel talks about. You read just a little bit more. I am going to take out their heart of stone. I'm going to do a transplant. I'm going to do surgery. I'm going to take out your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh and the indwelling Spirit of God. The Lord God has come. Meade says this, and I close with this. The heart of the human problem is not misbehavior. I see David back there with Lainey. We may think, as we have our children, as they grow up, as we look around this world, the heart of the human problem is not misbehavior. Our problem is not that we are just not quite good enough. We don't score 49 out of 50 and only just fall short of the glory of God. The reality is that all of us are at precisely 0 out of 50, he says. Our problems are not merely behavioral. They spew forth from the root of all that we are and do. The heart of the human problem is the human heart. Good news this Christmas. The heart of the human problem is your heart. The heart of the human problem is the human heart, as he says. So what can you do about it? Wrong question. What has God done about it? He's made promises like Ezekiel 34:23-24, and He's kept His promises because all the promises of God find their yes and their amen in Him to the glory of God. Let's pray together. Lord, thank You for Your Word. It is rich. All of it is Your Word, New Testament and certainly Old Testament. We worship You. You are the same God, both now and forevermore. Lead us to repentance this morning. Give us repentance. Lord, make us happy in You by being sorrowful over our sin. Make us happy in You this Christmas by doing business with You by Your grace alone. Lord, show us our spiritual bankruptcy. Remind us that we are actually, in all reality, a 0 out of 50. And help us to cling to the cross of Christ. This morning, even as I pray, Lord, help us to say, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me, a sinner. We thank You, Lord God, for the righteousness of Christ. We pray in His name. Amen.